Welcome to The Risk Course, Relationship, Intimacy, Sex, and Communication, the essential 7-week online course for lasting love and sex breakthroughs with relationship experts Christian Peterson and Sonica Tinker, brought to you by the Mankind Project USA.
All right, everybody. Welcome, officially welcome to session 2 of the Risk Course, Relationship, Intimacy, Sex, Communication. Sonica Tinker, Christian Peterson, you are with us in our living room, and we're really pleased that you'll be spending the next some 90 minutes with us for the second session of the Risk Course.
And this session is, we call it the fulfillment formula. How to eradicate complaint and criticism from your relationship and move from wanting to having. But before we get into this week's session, we want to do a quick review here of last week's session. So as you remember, last week we spoke about the power of your words and your thoughts to create your relationship reality. We actually demonstrated why complaining and criticizing your relationship doesn't work and why it actually makes things worse instead of better. When you talk about what you don't like or what you don't want, your attention goes to what you don't want. Remember, energy follows attention. So when you complain, you inadvertently reinforce the very thing you're trying to change. For example, if I say, "You don't listen," I'm now seeing what I believe. I'm noticing all the times you don't listen, and I'm filtering out actually all the times you do listen. Your partner naturally resists your complaint and your criticism, which merely inspires you to say it again, right? Only this time a little louder. Remember, we talked about how you're never, ever just observing reality. You're never observing anything. You're always creating. You are actually, with your words and your thoughts, influencing what you see, how you feel, and even how your partner shows up. So when you say something like "you don't listen," instead of it just being an observation, you're actually co-creating your partner to remain somebody who doesn't listen. So really, that's why we say complaining doesn't work. We hope it'll produce change, but in actuality, it only makes our problems worse. And remember the Henry Grayson story, the Henry Grayson experiment? You don't even have to say something negative for it to have an impact. You can just think it. You can just think unloving thoughts about your partner and negatively affect your relationship.
Yeah. And we also recommended that you use this creative power that you have to focus on what you do want to create instead of what you don't want to create. So to use your words and thoughts to take you in the direction where you want to go. So, you know, just consider that your thoughts and your words and your beliefs, they all lead to a destination. So ask yourself, are your thoughts and words right now taking you where you want to go? So if you say, "You don't listen," does that take you in a direction you want to go? "You're selfish," does that take you in the direction you want to go? Or, you know, "We just aren't attracted to each other anymore. We're just not compatible." Does that take you to a direction in the direction you want to go? So to help you shift out of these unfortunate or unwanted thought patterns, we encourage you to make a distinction between your potential and your actuality, your potential reality, your future reality, and your current reality. Or you could say your who you could be and your current behaviors. So we recommend that you keep the past in the past and you keep your sights on where you're going, on the future you would like to see happen, that you want to fuel and create with your attention.
We actually helped you make that distinction, if you remember, by guiding you through a visualization where you were supported to connect with an image of your full potential, right? After that, we invited you to identify yourself as that full potential, because it's in identifying yourself and your partner's this full potential being that you're able to see each other with fresh eyes and create fresh from possibility who you'd like to be more of in the relationship and what you'd like to create more of going forward. We also talked about the importance of feeding each other's full potential and empowering your own and your partner's full potential by saying what you love and appreciate both about yourself and about your partner. Saying things like, "You are so beautiful. You know, you're strong, you're powerful, you're loving, you're kind." You know, every time you do that, you're actually feeding your partner's best by reinforcing it with your words. And we spoke about how we need that, how essential it is for us to feed each other's virtues. Appreciation is to human beings as essential as sun and water is to a plant.
And maybe I can just insert here that, you know, often people like us, and, you know, we think, probably we assume you too, since you are on a course like this, you know, who have an interest in personal growth and who are into living as if we are responsible for our own life and taking responsibility for our own life, we often sometimes think, well, it shouldn't be necessary to do all that appreciation and stuff. You know, it's really not your job to make me happy or to make me feel loved. And we would agree with that. Like, at the end of the day, it isn't your job to make me feel good about myself, and it isn't my job to make you happy. And most of us are not so self-sourced yet that we are hanging out in the state of the Buddha or some other enlightened entity all the time, where we are self-sourcing love and value and worth all the time. We, you know, we vacillate between feeling needy and feeling totally fulfilled on our own. So until we're all that great all the time, we can so help each other by feeding each other's full potential. We simply help each other climb up the ladder towards being more and more of the people we want to be in this world.
Yeah, and remember we talked about as well too, not when you appreciate your partner, not only are you uplifting them, but you're helping yourself, because I have to now look for something I appreciate in order to appreciate you, which gets my attention off of all the stuff I don't have onto what I really want. So I'm giving to both of us when I express my appreciation. So remember, we gave you the homework assignment to do 3 appreciations every night before you go to bed, so that you're living in the positive, you know, you're on the positive track of gratitude and appreciation for what you do have and what you want to create more of.
Yeah. And so when you use this power of our words, your words, to feed each other, you're basically recreating what you were doing unconsciously in the beginning, in what's called the honeymoon phase. Like, you're reinforcing what you want to see by looking for it, expecting it, talking about it. You're giving to yourself and you're giving to your partner, and his partner is giving to herself, himself, and to you. You end up creating an upward spiral, just like you did in the beginning. And there's another important reason for why we begin with this practice of focusing on your own and your partner's full potential. And that is, when you see yourself and your partner as your best, and you say what you love, you're bound to feel more connected and in love right here and then. So we can say that the one way to do in practice, one way to do love, is to focus on what you love about someone, see them, tell them what it is you see in them in their full potential best. When you do that, you are going to feel more love with this person.
Yeah, and hopefully you got to have that experience with doing the homework here in this last week. And I will just strongly encourage you on behalf of both of us to keep up that standard practice in your relationship. 3 appreciations at the very least per day. If you can throw in a bunch more, your relationship is going to be the better for it. We have worked with several couples who have effectively, you know, turn their relationship around from divorce to feeling good and connected again from that practice alone.
I know, Sangha, Sangha and I, if we have a rough day where we're feeling disconnected, whether it's, you know, just between us, or we just had a rough day out in the world with work or whatever, and we haven't talked much at all during the day, you know, when we go to bed, we still aim to, even if we go to bed in a sort of a kind of mood, we still aim to do that. I appreciate you made breakfast this morning. Thank you.
Thank you for all the work you did to make this happen.
Yes.
Right.
All right,
so cool. Keep it up. It's a great practice.
And here, lastly, from last week, in the recap from last week, we encourage you to write up a relationship vision, describing as if in the present tense how you would experience your relationship 5 years out. So this vision is intended to be a declaration of where you are headed for yourself and with your partner. So, and we have some samples for you that we've gotten from other students and participants in the RIS course. All right, here's one. Our relationship has deepened and blossomed to even greater depths of love, intimacy, synergistic partnership, and appreciation. We've continued to look into each other's eyes and wake up every morning grateful we get to be together another day. Our lovemaking continues to be often and is truly artfully divine and spiritually exquisite. Where there used to be pain, suffering, and loneliness, there is now love and wholeness. Where there once was emptiness, there now is complete fulfillment, both together and individually. We have a fun, spontaneous, yet deep connection, which is characterized by soulful glances, incredibly fulfilling sex, and an overwhelming sense of joy and happiness.
You know, it's great about these written up vision statements is that you can feel them, and you really want to make sure when you do yours, hopefully you had an opportunity to do that already, to put words in there that really have the feeling essence of what you want to create. So here's a couple more. We see the gold in the other and truly appreciate and cherish this beautiful, special being as friend, lover, companion, secret keeper, and soulmate. Our love and appreciation is a palpable and positive force to anyone in our presence, and it attracts and magnifies love. We have fun together. We spend lots of quality, adventurous, open-hearted, easy, jubilant time together, from the mountains to the ocean. And we say yes to each other and try things the other wants to do with gusto and childlike mind. We consistently surprise each other with lightheartedness, humor, and hugs, and our smile count vastly exceeds our frown count. I love that one.
Nice. You know, buddy, we've obviously seen these before. We're the ones who gathered them. And it's still, I just can't help but put a grin on my face because it's awesome. What a great vision. I want to take some of those and put them in ours, like our smile count vastly outnumbers our frown count. That's awesome. And by the way, we put, I'm not even going to say that. We just wanted to share those with you right here.
Well, and the thing I want to say is there's nothing the only thing that's better about writing up a great vision is in a year from now going back and saying, oh my gosh, we're doing it all.
Yeah.
So that's what we're headed for. And that's what's so great about writing a mission is it really sets you, it's like creating a map for where you want to get to.
Yeah, indeed.
All right, so that's our recap.
Let's talk about what we're doing here today in session two. So we call session two the fulfillment formula, eradicating complaint and criticism. And we could have also called it going from wanting to having. So let's talk about that today. In this session, we're gonna show you how to eradicate complaint and criticism by using the complaints you have to quickly get out of reactivity into actively creating what you want and feeling the state you want. Or said in a different way, we're gonna show you how to move from wanting something to actually having what you want. So instead of living in your relationship like something is always missing, to actually begin to enjoy each other and feel more fulfilled.
We're actually gonna give you here how to use your complaints, you could say, right? So instead of it making things worse, it actually spirals you to create more of what you want. So here, to set the stage for this conversation, we're gonna invite you first of all here to take a moment to think of something you're unhappy about in your own relationship. Something you have a complaint about, something you don't want, something you want to change. So just think of something. It might be that you want more quality intimacy time together.
I don't want us to watch so much television.
You want to have more sex, more passion, more aliveness and newness in your intimacy.
Tired of fighting about money. Whatever it is for you.
See, we really believe that all complaints and problems, breakdowns, arguments, fights, every conflict is good. And why do we think that, you might wonder, because most of us are not really wanting those very much, is because they are telling us what we don't want and what we want to create differently. They have hidden in them our vision for what we'd like to create more of.
So here, we'll give you an example. I don't like that you never help in the kitchen.
I don't want to do it all myself.
I don't want to be alone all the time. So in these statements are statements about what we don't want, but in them are also what we do want, which is I do want support and help in the kitchen.
I do want to be with you.
I do want to feel connected, close, that is not alone. I want to feel close, connected. The complaints the statements of what I don't want, they have love in them. Love is hiding right under the surface in every single complaint. Okay? So when your partner complains, that is true too, not just for you. There's something good and loving that's right there under the surface of their complaint. So we're going to show you how to find that, how to use that, and we're going to let you practice with it so you get good at doing that quickly.
So we're going to slow it down here into several steps. So the first way you know that you want to create something new is you notice you don't like the way something is, right? You have a negative reaction to something that is said or done.
Or not said or not done.
Right? So your complaints are telling you what you don't want. So as we just did, right? It's like, I don't want you to criticize me. I don't want us to never have sex. I don't want us to not be intimate. I don't want to clean the house by myself. Like, every single one of those has a do want in it. So here, we're going to demonstrate this here for you.
And you're going to be doing this exercise shortly.
All right. So first thing we're going to just explore is what don't you want? Because that is the starting point to creativity. So how about I'll just ask and you can answer.
All right.
Okay. Cool. What don't you want?
I don't want us to work all the time.
Thank you. What don't you want?
I don't want us to have arguments about money.
Thank you. What don't you want?
I don't want us to just, I don't want, for me or you, I don't want to just, you know, drift through our days without a clear purpose of where we're going.
Thank you. What don't you want?
I don't want to just have sex with you just for having sex, you know? I don't want to do it without having also a heart connection.
Thank you. What don't you want?
I don't want to be shut down and close my heart off.
Great. So basically what we're doing here is we call it a repeated question. So I'm just asking the same question over and over of my partner. And notice whatever he says, I just say, thank you. Thank you for that. What else don't you want? You know, this is a really good time to remember that we're going to get to the positive loving intent underneath that. So to just be a thank you for whatever you don't want, because I know underneath that there's something good that you're wanting.
And here we're going to put it up on the slide in a minute so you can see. But go ahead and decide who's going to be asking first and who's going to be answering first. So go ahead and decide that. If you are by yourself, how you do this is you ask and answer the question. So you'll ask of yourself the question that comes up, and then you'll answer it. Then you'll ask it again. Then you'll answer it until we tell you to stop. All right. So just like this, one of the person who's asking, say, what don't you want? Thank you. What don't you want? That's all you'll be doing. We'll tell you very clearly when it's time to switch and let the other person go. So go right ahead. Go ahead and ask one more time. And then person who's been asking the questions, you say, thank you for not wanting all that. And then everybody take a deep breath. Go ahead and switch other person now. Ask if you're doing this by yourself, you just keep going. Go ahead. Go ahead and ask one more time. And person who's been asking the question, say, thank you for not wanting all that. All right, great.
Take another nice deep breath. Now, the don't want is usually pretty easy. You know, sometimes we have an easier time knowing what we don't want than what we do want. But what's great about our don't wants is they're pointing, as we've already said, to something we do want. So it's usually the opposite of what we don't want, right? If I don't want to be in the kitchen by myself, right, then I would, you know, I'm wanting the opposite, which is I'm wanting your company in the kitchen, right? If I don't want to sleep apart, I'm wanting us to sleep together. If I don't want you to criticize me, I'm wanting to be appreciated. So it's pretty easy, even though we might not have the, you know, sometimes when we work with couples, there's the tendency to kind of stay caught up in all the stuff we don't want. And so really the trick to moving from wanting to having is to get as fast as possible from our don't wants to our do wants. So in this next exercise, we're going to demo this here for you first, is you're going to now do a different kind of repeated question where basically I say, what don't you want?
Here, actually, let's just put it right up on the slide so you can see that.
And follow along here. So the first thing I'm going to say is, what don't you want? And once my partner answers that,
I don't want to argue about money.
I'm going to say, thank you. What do you want?
I want us to have a calm discussion about money and, you know, figure out what we're doing.
Thank you very much. So now I'm just going to ask again, what don't you want?
I don't want to feel my heart close off to you and be shut down.
Thank you. What do you want?
I want to feel open again and loving.
Thank you.
Yes.
What don't you want? So you're just going to keep doing those two questions. One person asking, just like I'm demonstrating here with Christian, one person asking, one person answering, until we tell you very clearly when to switch roles, where now the other person is asking both of those questions. Use this exercise to take some legitimate complaints, things you want to change, and get at what it is you do want that's positive underneath that. You know, what do you, I don't want us to not have sex. I don't want us to only have sex once a month. What do you want? I want to have sex every week or, you know, every night or, you know, whatever your thing is, right? You can want whatever you want. And I want to say here, don't worry about feeling like you have to be aligned or want the same things. We're not there yet.
Yeah. Okay.
All we are doing right now is what don't you want? What do you want? Okay. So decide who's going to ask first and who's going to answer first.
And again, if you're doing this by yourself, you do both parts. You say, what don't I want? Answer. What do I want? Answer. And you simply keep going, and it'll take you deeper.
All right. So go on ahead. We'll tell you very clearly when to switch. Go ahead.
go ahead and complete the sequence you're on. All right, person who's been asking the question, say thank you for not wanting and wanting all that. All right, deep breath. Other person, your turn to ask. If you're doing it by yourself, keep going, same questions. Go ahead and complete the sequence you're on. And person who's been asking, you say, thank you for not wanting and wanting all of that. Deep breath. All right, great.
So now in this little exercise, notice that we're moving you in the direction you'd like to go, right? So instead of being focused on what you don't want and what you don't like, energy follows attention. So now you're creating more of what you don't want. We're using the don't want to get you in touch with what you do want so you can get on with creating that.
Now, and here, and also I just want to insert, for those of you who might be thinking, yeah, but what are we going to do with the real problems? What about the stuff we just haven't figured out? You know, the stuff we came here to figure out. Patient young Padawan, as they used to say in Star Wars, is we're laying foundation quite deliberately first. We're intending to set you up for the future, and we will get to the places where you have it. You take your actual conflicts and work them out and come to solutions.
And this is the beginning of that.
Yes, it is.
All right, so here, so once you have now used your don't want to get or what you do want, there's another piece that's really important for you to know about wants.
Yes, so.
And that is that there are layers to wants. One of the things that we've come to discover both in our own relationship and our work with thousands and thousands of people is what we think we want is not necessarily what we really want.
Yes.
So we'll explain that for you.
So here you can follow along on the slide here. So imagine there are layers to wants. There are the form. There is the form of what you want at the surface. Form of what you want that include things like, I want more sex. I want more quality time. I want more money. I want us to live together. I want you to talk nicely to me. This is you could say the topmost or the surface layer of our wants and desires, the ones that show up instantly, immediately. And dictionary, if you look up form in the dictionary, here's one of the explanations you'll get is this one, the visible shape or configuration of something. So, you know, car, sexual encounter, clean room, romantic dinner, new dress, promotion, 10,000 bucks, relationship, more date nights, anything like that. Underneath, however, the form of what you want is the experience or the feeling you imagine you would have if you had this form. So that's like the bottom, the foundation.
The only reason we ever want any form is because we imagine we're going to have a certain feeling experience when we get it. So I'm just going to say that again because it's really powerful here. The only reason you ever want anything in your relationship is because you imagine you're going to have a certain feeling experience when you get it. You know, so if I say something, for example, like I want to have more quality time together, there's a reason why I want that. I imagine I'm going to have this feeling of connection when we have quality time. That's why I want to have quality time together. Okay. If I say I want to live with you.
Yeah, I'm on moving together.
Right. It's same thing. It's like I'm imagining a positive, good feeling experience from living with you that has me say I want us to live together.
I know. You're imagining, I'm imagining, I would be imagining, you know, that I would, if we could actually move in together, I feel safe. I could relax. I feel secure. Yeah. I imagine that's what I would feel. Or another example is I want more sex. Right, that's the form of my want. Well, what's the experience I'm after? What experience do I imagine I would have if we had more sex? More good sex, I could say.
Now, why it's important to know the experience you're after is because a lot of times in relationship, we're fighting for form. We're fighting over form. You know, I want to go here on vacation. You want to go someplace else on vacation. I want to have, you know, this is a common one, right? I want to have sex once a month. You want to have sex once a week. I want us to do a date night, you know, once a month, and you want to do it a lot less often.
Yeah, and really why I want more sex is because I imagine if we could, I'd feel connected and loved and alive and energized.
So when we argue about form, we are, even when we get it, we may or may not get the experience that we're after. You know, if I say, I really want you to bring me more flowers, and you're like, here, flowers. You know, I got my flowers, I got the form, but I didn't get the experience I was after. You might have had that experience in sex or on a date night as well. Fine, go ahead. You know, let's go ahead and do it. Like you're going through the motions of the form, but you're not having the tender, loving, connected experience that you were going for. So it's really important for you to be able to know the difference between the form that you're after and really what's underneath that, what the experience is that you're after. And I'll say, you know, because we don't have that distinction, we are kind of misinformed about how to create what we want. And we've been trained to do that by commercials. You know, if you look at every single commercial, you know, they are trying to sell us a product and they are promising basically that if you buy this product, you're going to have a certain experience.
If you buy this form, you're going to have a certain experience.
Right. You buy this big truck, you know, you're going to be really masculine and in your power and free.
Yeah. You buy this certain kind of beer and drink it with your friends. You're going to look super sexy and hot and you're going to feel so confident.
You know, it makes us better consumers when we believe this. And unfortunately, when we get into relationship, when I'm now trying to get forms so I can feel a certain way, unaware that that's really what I'm going for is a positive experience, we inevitably set ourselves up to be disappointed.
Yeah, our experience it doesn't live in the form. So on like the experience the example on the slide here, can we theoretically, could we move in together and I would not feel safe, relaxed, and secure? Yeah. Could we live apart and I would theoretically be able to feel safe and secure and relaxed? Yes to both. They're not necessarily connected. That's not to say they can't be connected. They can, but they just as easily cannot be.
Yeah, same thing about sex, right? If can I have sex and not feel connected? You know?
Yes.
Yeah. Can I feel connected not making love? Yes.
Yes.
So it's really important to understand why we want what we want. And it helps us understand our partners when I understand what it is that you know, being sexual is going to give you, or, you know, what it's going to give you if I come help you in the kitchen, or if I take out the trash, like what the positive experience is you're going for underneath that.
And I used to, in the beginning of our relationship, when we did long distance relationship for like 2+ years. And then we had instances where Sonica was like ready to move in together and start building and, you know, doing the whole thing together. And I initially would be really triggered when she suggested that, because I totally wasn't ready for that. But in realizing, oh, okay, great, that's just the form of her desire she's expressing. What is it she's really trying to go for here? Well, it's some version of feeling connected, alive, loved, supported. Okay, great. I still might not want to move in together, but I'm not so much in resistance to her wanting to feel connected and loved. Hey, I want that.
And all of a sudden, when you're connected to the experience you're after, then you can work together as partners to explore, well, what's another way we could feel connected with a form that is a match for both of us.
And this foundation will come in very handy when, in a couple of later sessions, we're going to dive into actual conflicts you have to look for solutions. You need this piece first.
Yeah, and I'll just add, you know, when we were in a long distance relationship and I was ready to move in and he wasn't, when I could realize like the only reason I want to live with him is because I want to feel connected. And we got really good at connecting long distance over the phone. There was still a way I could have that experience, even though the form wasn't a match for what I was really hoping for.
Yeah.
So in order to be able to do that, you have to be able to make a distinction between the form of what you want and the experience you're after. So what we're going to do in this next exercise, and we'll demonstrate it here for you first, is to explore together, and we'll have you actually go back and forth here in this example, where I'm going to say, what do you want? And you can use some of the examples that you were talking about earlier in the previous exercise.
I want us to have more relaxed time together.
Thank you. And what's the experience you imagine you would have if we had more relaxed time together?
Well, I'd feel relaxed. And I'd feel like connected with you. Yeah.
Okay.
Relaxed.
All right, cool. Thank you.
All right, so in this exercise, I'm now going to be asking the question, okay? So I'll say, what do you want? Or what do you want?
I want to do more activities. I just want to get out more together.
Right.
You know, try new things, have more adventures, do more fun stuff.
Thank you. Why do you want that? Or you could say, what's the experience you would have if you had that?
You know, I'd have an experience of expansion and aliveness and newness. You know, I'd get to grow from being exposed to different things.
All right, cool. I'm not sure we're quite at the foundation bottom here, so I'm just going to ask again, if you really could grow and have that expansive feeling, how would you feel?
I feel expanded and alive. And I want to do it with you too. Like I want to do some stuff with, like, so we're kind of growing together, like we're expanding and growing together. So I want some of that by myself and I want some of that with both of us. But really the feeling I'm after is enlivened expansion.
Thank you. And then she would ask now, and notice when you get kind of to the bottom of the feeling experience, you're going to be able to feel it just a little bit, maybe a lot, but at least a little bit. So right when I asked, I don't know if you can tell in Sonica's body language, she's having a whiff of expanded, alive. Or when she was asking me, and really what I want is to feel relaxed, connected with you. I can feel a little relaxation in my body. I'm there.
And what's great about that, which I just want to underline here, is when you're in the middle of feeling it, it's more proof that I can feel expanded and alive right now talking about it, not necessarily doing anything new or going out on any adventure. Like it's proof again that they're not necessarily connected and that there are many ways to potentially feel expanded or relaxed.
So now your turn again. Go ahead and decide who's going to ask first and who's going to get you started. And here's what you will ask, just like we just demonstrated and what's up on the slide. Again, if you're doing this by yourself, you play all the parts. That totally works too. What do you want? Thank you. What's the experience you imagine you would have if you had that?
Make sure you keep the focus on the positive experience you're after.
Yes.
What's very the positive important. Feeling you're going
alternate
for?
Way to ask the question is, how would you feel? How would you feel if you had that? And you go back and forth, until we tell you to stop. All right? So go right ahead. And start wrapping up the exercise. All right, both of you take a good deep breath. All right, great. So here, talking more, I want to tell you a fun story that it's gonna make someone sound a little silly, but since that someone is me, I can totally tell it.
And it's form experience.
It's very relevant to this form and experience we're talking about. So here goes, it's from our relationship. When Sonic and I first met, we met at a place called the Option Institute, which is a personal growth retreat in Massachusetts. And we were both signed up for a course called Inner Strength. I was signed up for a 6-week course called Inner Strength, But this particular course was split in two. So it was 2 weeks in October, and then it was 4 weeks in January. So there was a large break in between the two portions. Sonica was only signed up for the first 2 weeks, because you could do that at the Option Institute as well. So we meet there the first 2 weeks. We share that experience of inner strength, and we have a great, you know, there's connection. We have our own little dramas of back and forth and back and forth. And it's a very interesting and wonderful electric experience. And when we say goodbye, we thought that was the last time we were going to see each other. That was a sad night. as it turned out, though, we stayed in touch over, you know, but during October, November, and December. And I know what you're thinking, that Sonica says, Sonica's thinking, yeah, it was me doing the staying in touch.
It was like my 10 emails to his one.
That is true. And at that time in my life, the only relationship I was interested in was the one and only, okay? That's all I wanted. I had had so many relationships that weren't that. And I had dreamed about the one and only for so long, that was just all I was interested in. And I would tell people, you know, I'd tell everybody, hey, that's what I'm looking for. So, you know, my one radar was on all the time. I was always looking at people, going, yeah, you, no. And at some point during this time, around December, it turned out that the Option Institute, they didn't have enough people to do this 4 week second part in January. So they cut it down to 2 weeks, and then they started calling the previous students to see if they would want to come back. Sonica, all of a sudden, when it was only 2 weeks, she could all of a sudden, logistically, it could now work for her to do it. So she calls me up at the Option Institute and she says, hey, I'm coming back for the 2 weeks in January. Want to share a room? And I quickly said yes and hung up. Because I figured I had a sense that if I kept stay on the phone, I would talk myself out of that pretty quickly. But I said yes, and we did. So January rolls around. I borrow someone's car, drive to Albany in the middle of the night in New York to pick up Sonica from the airport. We drive back home to the Option Institute, and we have a wonderful time together. It's a little awkward at first, but then we have a wonderful time. We share and talk all night. We make love all night. And this was Friday, so we had Saturday and Sunday before the class would start again. We had like a honeymoon weekend. It was that amazing. Awesome. Amazing. So Monday morning rolls around. It's now time to get ready to go to class at Inner Strength. And how you do that at the Option Institute is you go up to the big cafeteria where there's, I don't know, anywhere between 100 and 200 people at any given time. So we're getting ready to leave. And in the spirit of complete honesty that Sonic and I practiced from the very first moment we met, I say, you know, honey, I noticed that I'm a little hesitant to putting my arm around you and holding your hand and just walking into the cafeteria because, you know, I'm looking for the one and I don't want to look like I'm all hitched with you. I'd like to keep my options open.
Which I was totally fine about because I knew I wasn't the one. I mean, you know, I'm 15 years older. I live in California. I've got two kids. I've got a life here for myself. Like, you know, I used to tell people, like, what's going to happen with a, you know, 32-year-old from Denmark.
I don't know. I was 32 at the time.
We just figured, I knew I wasn't the one, so it was totally fine him saying that.
Yeah, and I knew a lot of people there and had, you know, been looking out at a lot of potential partners in the 3 months I had been there while Sonica had not been there. So in this moment, Sonica asks me this question. Well, what if I were the one?
And the only reason I asked that question is I could tell he had some like rigid picture of what he thought the one was. And I just wanted to kind of help him open up about that and kind of explore what his limited thinking was. Because again, I knew I wasn't the one.
Yeah. And actually, you know what I used to tell people at that time, you know, if for those of you who might be on the call who are single, or you might remember it from when you were single, is this question of how are you going to know when it's really the one? Like when it's, you know, the one with a capital O, how are you going to know that? What I used to tell myself and anybody who cared to listen was, well, how I'm going to know it is when it feels like it has been feeling with Sonica, but it's the one. Because it was obvious that wasn't her. So Sonica asked this question, well, what if I were the one? And right in that moment, there's like an explosion going off in my head, like fireworks, It's like the whole thing just dawns on me. You know, one of those terrifying, explosive moments of clarity. It just dawns on me. Wow. I've been so blind. She is the one. Holy smokes. She is the one. This is the worst case of not seeing the forest for trees. And it just, I just realized right there and then, this is it. With her, I've been having everything I've been fantasizing about for years. I'm telling people, how I'm going to know is it when it feels like it does with her, but it's someone else.
He wasn't looking for a 47-year-old California woman with two kids.
No, I wasn't. And, you know, and on my wish on my wish list of forms, which is typically what's on our wish list, is form. None of those were on my list. 47, lives in another continent, speaks another language, has kids already. None of that. So it's just to say, this distinction between form and experience is so powerful because it totally dictates what your mind does with your life. And it's so powerful that you can miss the one and only even when she's in your bed for weeks if you're stuck on looking for another form.
You can also miss where your partner is loving you and giving to you and being there for you when you're stuck on form. You know, one of the other examples we talk a lot about in our own life, our own relationship life, family life, is one of the ways that I have felt really connected as a family is when we play board games. You know, and my son, our son now is 18 and our daughter is going to be 15 this next weekend. And one of the things that, you know, has shown up as they've gotten older is they're not so interested in playing board games. And so I still can kind of watch myself when I want to connect to want to go to, hey, want to play a game. And they don't necessarily, sometimes they do, and sometimes they don't. And I have to remember that there are other ways for me to get that connection. And sometimes Christian will elbow me and say, hey, you know, when we're having this sweet connecting moment with our daughter doing homework or hanging out in the living room or doing our own little projects or having a fun, you know, time sharing about our day, he'll kind of rip me and say, hey, that's one of those times. You know, so it's really important for us, again, to make this distinction between the form and the experience that we're after.
And to realize how attached we get in our heads to the picture of a form. You know, just because Sonica, she has had a series of experiences where playing board games, sitting around the dinner table with our kids, produced a wonderful connected feeling of security and family and love. So in her mind, that just gets connected. So now when she wants to go for that, that's just automatically what the mind goes for. Okay, great. We got to play that board game. We got to play that board game. We got to play that board game. Same thing with you. You can just assume, at least for purposes of practicing this, granted we don't know your relationship, but just assume that there's a whole bunch of times you're overlooking the experience you actually want to have because you're stuck on looking at the form.
Now there's another really important piece we want to bring out here about form, and that is anytime you say to your partner, I want you to, anything that follows that is form. So I'm just going to say that again. Anytime you say, I want you to look in my eyes, I want you to make relationship a priority, I want you to acknowledge our children more, I want you to quit blowing up, I want you to come home time for, you know, come home earlier from work, I want to have dinner ready made when I get home.
Yeah, I want you to never be late again, I want you to stop talking to me like that, I want you to talk to me nicely, I want you to have more sex with me, I want you to stop spending that much money, I want you to...
Everything that follows I want you to is form. Why do you want that? I want you to come home earlier from work. Why do I want that? What's the experience I'm after? I want you to be on time. Why do I want that? What's the experience I'm after? So we want to give you an opportunity to actually play with that. And also, you know, there's kind of two sides for why we're doing this particular exercise. One is for me to explore, why do I want you to do those things? What is the experience I'm after? And also for the person who's listening to realize that your partner really isn't just trying to criticize the bejesus out of you and micromanage you and control you. They're just going for a positive experience. That's all. You know, they're going for some good feeling with you underneath their desire for you to be different. So here, we're going to demonstrate this here for you so you'll know what we're going to do here in this next exercise. So now you're just going to say, what do you want? And your partner's going to say, I want you to. And pick some you twos in here, some things you really want to change about your partner, so you can explore what's the experience that's underneath that.
So I'll say, what do you want?
I want, you know, I really want us to have a...
So here, I'm just going to stop you for purposes of the exercise. Just remember to say, I want you to.
I want you to initiate quality date nights with me.
Thank you.
And surprise me with something fun.
Wonderful. Why do you want that? Or what's the experience you imagine you would have if I did that?
You know, there's a little theme here, but I can see really what I want is new, like this, the sense of newness, like not having the same old humdrum all the time. You know, I want newness. I want to feel special and like we're kind of, you know, making pointed opportunities to really connect and be with each other and not just drift along.
And I'm just going to ask one more time. So if you really could have that and it was just new and fresh and we're doing fun things like that, how would you feel?
I'd feel in love and connected and just juicy.
Awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And then she's going to ask me.
So what do you want?
I want you to stop pointing out when, for example, stop pointing out when I'm making errors on my keyboard.
Thank you. And what's the experience you're after?
You know, to have a sense that you know that I got it, that I'm aware when an error happens and I got it.
Okay, cool. And what's the experience you're after? So if you could just know that, if I could just know that you got it, like what feeling would that give you? What's the experience you're after?
Relaxed. Free. Yeah, free. And, you know, free to make mistakes without my inner voice going off about what I'm an idiot I am. And really, why do I want that? Yeah, to feel free and at ease in here.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
So we're just going to go back and forth just like that.
And
what do you want?
And we're using real ones here.
Yeah, this is not scripted.
And the other thing I want to say as well is you might notice as you do this more and more, themes. Like, you know, there's definitely a theme in mind, which is for expansion and connection. And Christian often has a theme of relaxation and freedom. So you might notice as you do, like, you know, the forms change, but the experience we're going after often is very similar. And so just notice if there's any themes for you as you go through doing these exercises.
And one more thing, you're doing an exercise where your partner is going to say to you, I want you to. Now, just because Sonika says, I want you to initiate date night with new kinds of experiences, that doesn't mean that I have to do that. So be cautious of, don't take that as, oh shit, now I have to do that. Now I have to do that. I don't want to do that. All it means is that's the form of her desire. What she's really going for is a sense of adventure and expansion and aliveness and newness.
And,
being in love, she said.
Well, and cool. Same thing with his example, right? I could be with X. That's a real thing that happened, you know, a couple hours before doing this here. And I could listen to that like, oh, God, I did it wrong. I shouldn't have been that way. Or instead of like, oh, like he really wants something. He's having a certain experience and he'd like to have a different experience. What is that? So as best as I can, I want to listen to his desires for me for what he's really wanting underneath. Like he's talking about himself. He's not talking about me.
And in general, we just want you to get good at, that's why we're pinning it out in steps like this, to when you hear complaints from your partner or your own, to be able to listen to what is it that's under there. All right, so you're going to get to practice that right now. Go ahead and decide who's going to start, get you started. You'll be going back and forth. And it's right up here on the slide. What do you want? I want you to, thank you. What's the experience you imagine you would have if I did that? Now, if you're doing it with somebody, if you're not with a partner, you simply ask the question yourself of, I want someone to, could be a partner, somebody else. I want someone to, why do I want that? All right, go ahead. Start wrapping up the exercise. And both of you go ahead and say to each other, thank you for wanting that. Everybody take a deep breath. Notice in the different versions we've had you do of what don't you want? What do you want? I want you to. All of them you end up with, well, why do I want that? There's a certain feeling experience you want. Was there any time you landed on evil or nasty?
Or disconnected.
Or harmful.
Pissed off.
No, there wasn't. Because the only reason you ever want anything is because you're looking for a positive, innocent, good, clean experience, no matter how nasty it sounds when it comes out in the form.
So what's great about what we've done so far, right, is you've gone from don't want to do want to what the experience is that you're after, right? So we're now moving, you can kind of see we're kind of on a trajectory here away from complaint, moving in the direction that we want to go. But we're still stuck in wanting, right? I'm still wanting now an experience. I don't want to stay wanting that experience. I actually want to have the experience.
Because you notice that the only stuff you're, the only reason you ever want anything is because you don't have it. So the wanting comes with a declaration of, I don't have it, comes with a declaration of lack. So how do we get over to actually having it?
Well, and really to say that, you know, even in our saying, you've got to get over to having it, one of the things that we've really discovered is that wanting and having can't exist in the same space. So as long as you're in wanting, whether it's wanting a form, wanting your partner to be different, wanting something to change in your relationship, wanting even a positive experience, you're stuck in wanting. And there's another problem here with wanting, which is that not only is it an expression of lack, but they're sort of implied too when I say I want something. Not only am I implying I don't have it now, I'm implying it's going to come later, right? It's going to come in the future. I hope it will come in the future. Well, the problem with that is there is no future, right? There's only right now and right now and right now and right now and right now. So if I stay wanting something later, then I never get to have it right now, because when I get to later, it's the new now and I still don't have it. So the only way then to move from wanting to having is we've got to momentarily, you know, we use the want to point us in the direction that we're going, but we've got to momentarily sort of let go of wanting long enough to slide us into having. So we're going to tell you how to do this, because this is a really powerful exercise really the best way to say it is like kind of sliding yourself into the experience you'd like to have. So I'll actually explain this and demonstrate this by sharing with you an experience I had in a relationship where I was literally in fetal position, kind of shut down. And I would say things like, I'm shut down. And if you'll remember from the last class session, right, with this whole Cartesian reality, you know, when I make a declaration like that, I am shut down, and where I'm looking is to my behavior. I'm basically gluing the past, right? I've been shut down. I'm gluing that to the present. I keep getting more shut down. So first thing I had to do was to begin to identify my potential as open. And how I helped slide myself from shut down to open is I did what we're going to invite you to do, is I asked myself this question. If I were open right now, what would I do or what would I say? So I'm going to repeat that question for you, and we'll put it up for you here on a slide as well. If I were open right now, what would I do or what would I say? And I'll tell you what is so powerful about asking this question is it kind of tricks my mind. So in the moment that I asked it, when I was in fetal position, shut down on the bed, is I had to imagine myself as open to be able to answer the question, which means there's already a shift in my thoughts. Remember the power of thought to create reality. All right. So if I were open, I imagine myself as open, and then I ask, what would I do or what would I say right now? The right now is very essential to this question, because all we have is right now, right? And there's always something I could say or do right now that is connected to this desired experience I'm after of open. So I remembered when I would ask this, I remember the first time I asked this question, when I was in fetal position, shut down, if I were open right now, what would I do? What would I say? And the answer I got was I would move my pinky in my partner's direction. So that's what I did. And I felt a big shift, believe it or not. And then I asked it again, if I were open right now, what would I do or what would I say? And I remember the answer that came to me was, I would talk about how miserable I feel in here and how I hate it and I want to get out. So I said that, which if you'll notice, when I'm saying it, I'm a little more open, right? Because I'm now being expressed instead of all just clammed up, and something shifted. And then I asked it again. And I went on to ask this question probably 20 times a day for 6 months of just saying, if I were open right now, what would I do? When I was in my college class and I was all scared, if I were open right now, what would I do? What would I say? When I was working with a client and I was all freaked out, but what am I, if I were open right now, what would I do? What would I say? And I just kept taking action based on whatever answer I got from asking that question, and slowly created myself to be somebody who is open. You can do the same thing with whatever experience it is you're wanting to create in your relationship.
So it might start with, I might start from a complaint really I have, something I don't want. I'll start out, I'll say, I don't want us to just work, 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 and that's all we ever do.
Great. Thank you. What's the experience you're after?
Well, what I do want is I want to have some relaxed time, some chill time. What's the experience I would have if we could do that? I'd feel relaxed. I'd be able to relax and, you know, quiet the noise up here and go like that. So here, translate that to the question she was just posing. If I were relaxed and quiet in my mind already, what could I do? What could I say right now? You're just asking your own mind, and your own mind will provide the answer. Well, the first thing that comes, the immediate thing that comes to mind, take a very deep breath. That already feels a little more relaxed. Okay, great. Now, if I were relaxed already, what could I do? What could I say? You know, I could go sit on the couch and just sit there for a moment. All right, cool. I'm just gonna get up and do that right now. All right, now here I am over on the couch. I'm just gonna ask myself, if I were relaxed already, what could I do? What could I say? I could grab this magazine that's laying next to me and I'll just flip through the pages. It doesn't matter what it is, it's just the next action. We want this to be an actionable thing so you can put it out into your actual reality. And this is an immediate way to do that.
And I'll tell you, it makes a profound difference in relationships. So I want to just tell you a couple of ways you can implement this. So one of it, you know, when Christian and I were early on in our relationship, he used to call me the tsunami because I just wanted to be sexual with him. I just wanted to
live with me and moving together.
And so he was freaked out.
I was like the deer in the headlights.
And then my tendency was to feel all rejected and, you know, shut down and hurt and want to run away. And I actually did this exact exercise that we're teaching you. What don't I want? I don't want him saying no. What do I want? I want him saying yes. Why do I want that? And when I really dropped all the way down, the only reason I wanted to make love with him is I wanted to be as close to him as humanly possible. I wanted to feel close and connected. And so I would ask this question, if I were feeling close and connected with him right now, what would I do or what would I say? And there was always something I could do, even if he was shut down. There's always some way I could say, you know, it's okay if you don't want to make love, honey, I just want to be close to you.
And my, you complete?
Yeah.
All right. My equivalent process is, you know, I'm feeling all shut down and angry and triggered. And is, okay, great. What don't I want? I don't want her to like smother me and be all over me. Great. What do I want? I want to have a little space to breathe and clear my mind and think. Why do I want that? So I can be free to choose what I want. So I can say yes when I want to. What's the experience I would have if I could do that? I feel free. I could relax. Crap, that's that relaxed thing again. And that free thing again. If I were relaxed and free already, what could I do? What could I say? And I'm like this. Oh man, I could relax my shoulders and I could say, I know that's stupid. You know, it's not that I don't want you to want to have sex with me. Actually, I think that's pretty great. Be a lot worse if you never wanted to. All right, cool. I feel a little better. If I were relaxed and free already, what could I do? What could I say? I could come a little closer and say, it's nice that you want that. Thank you.
If I were connected right now, what would I do? What would I say? I'd say, it's okay, I'm going to just snuggle.
If I were relaxed and free already, what could I do? What could I say? I'd say, yeah, let's do that. Let's just lay here. Come here.
From here, it doesn't matter what we do, whether we make love, whether we watch television, whether we get up and make a snack, whether we fall asleep in each other's arms. We're both having the experience we're after, which is connection and relaxation.
And because we took the time, few minutes, to connect with that, now everything we do will be infused with relaxed, connected, free, loved. Drinking tea, making love, watching movies, going to sleep. Whatever, we already won.
So what word will you put in this question? So you want to take whatever experience you got in touch with here as you were going through these exercises, pick one that is the most powerful for you, the thing that you really want to experience the most in your relationship, and put that word in there.
So on the screen as an example of if I were connected, okay, connected, that is, you know, that is often what Saga says, so that's why that's up there.
If I felt loved. If I felt free, if I were fully expressed, if I were enlivened and passionate and full of life, if I were adventurous, you know, you put that word in there that best describes what experience you want to create more of. And then we would give you as a homework assignment to ask that question several times over the next week and then do whatever answer you get. One of the things that's really great about asking this question is that you'll access the best action for you to take in this moment so that your actions are now informed by the experience you want to create and now you're moving in the direction you want to go. If you think about it, when we're in complaint, a lot of times the actions we take are going to help us create more of what we don't want, you know? So just the example of when I want sex and I feel rejected and I'm like, you know, I leave the room slamming doors or, you know, there was one point I remember I like slammed the front door and went out into the driveway and, you know, I'm standing out there at like 1 o'clock in the morning, freezing cold by myself. You know, is that the experience I want? No. You know, and often when we're in reaction and stuck in our complaint, what we don't want, we take actions that reinforce that. And so what's beautiful about this whole process of don't want, do want, experience, and then living in this question is you are now taking an action in the direction you want to go. Kind of how I think about it is I'm pointing my mind off of my wanting into having the experience I'm after, because I have to imagine myself there to ask the question. And now the actions I take are going to lead me to the experience I want to create for myself.
And in the process, I translate all the complaints that are in the space, my complaints, your complaints, my bickering, your bickering. I translate it. And when you get good at it, you'll do this on the fly instantly. I just translate it to, what is it that's really desired here? And that, so I don't have to interact with the me. I don't have to interact directly with, why can't you just say this? Or why can't you never make love with me? Or why don't we have more quality time? I just go straight for it. Oh, there's something good here that is wanted now.
So what word will you put there? So just take a minute with your partner to say, what word will you put into this question to live into for this next week? Don't try to answer it right now. Just come up with what's the word you're going to put in there.
All right. here, we want to tell you a great story that illustrates the power of this. And then we'll go through the homework assignments or that we're suggesting you take on until we meet again. So we're doing one of our live workshops, 2-day workshops called Give Yourself to Love. It's at a, you know, it's at a hotel. There's a woman there who whose partner couldn't be there because he was working, and they came from, I don't know, 3-4 hours away. But she was there. So at the end, they had arranged it, though, so that she would be with us in the workshop on Saturday, and he would drive, after having worked all of Saturday, he would drive 3-4 hours to come meet her in their hotel room Saturday night. And she's all fired up, of course, because we have, she's had an amazing experience. She's had amazing insights and really connected with love. And oh, man, she's on fire. And she's just ready to connect and jump on this guy, basically. So what happens when she comes up in the hotel room, he's arrived there. He's on the bed and he is white. So he's on the bed.
Zoning out,
maybe watching television. Did you say that?
He was watching wrestling.
He was watching wrestling. Thank you. And you can imagine her coming in all fired up. And what she sees is him on the bed watching wrestling. And she's like, hey, baby. And he's like, hi. And right then, she's already pissed off. She is so triggered because that is so not what she wants.
That's not the form she was going for.
And this particular woman is a fiery person. And she would normally have fiery arguments. And she's just about to go fiery off on him before she remembers this piece we just taught you.
So she takes herself into the bathroom, closes the door, takes a couple of deep breaths, and works this process. What don't I want? I don't want to watch him that darn wrestling. What do I want? I want to feel connected.
I want him to connect with me, focus on me.
I want to make love. I want to care.
Why do I want that? To feel sweet connection, to share all my excitement.
So she asked the question, if I were connected with him right now, what would I do? What would I say? And the answer she came up with was, you know, I'd go sit with him on the bed and I would ask him what he likes about wrestling.
So she did. She literally came out of the bathroom, walked to the hotel bed, sat next to him and said, what is it you're watching? What do you like about that? And he kind of perked up a little and said, you know, I couldn't tell you what he said because I don't know that wrestling that well. But he said, well, I'm watching this and this and this, and that's why it's exciting and what I like about that.
And she was so fun when she was telling us the story because she's like, and he just got more, and I asked more questions, and guess what happened? and then she said the same thing happened the next morning.
The next morning, they had the exact same experience. The exact same thing. Well, he was just wanting to sleep in a little more. She had to come down to the workshop at 9 o'clock in the morning, Sunday morning. And she was really wanting to connect and make love and, you know, roll around in bed before she went. And he was like, oh, man, I'm just tired. I've been working so long this week. She did the exact same thing with the exact same result.
Yeah, she said again, and guess what happened?
Not so, to say that always happens, but it certainly can.
All right, here. So here's the homework for this week.
Yes. So here's what we're going to do. Oh, yeah, sorry. Let me just
get the slide up there.
Click the right thing on here. There we go.
All right, so the homework we would like to give you for this week is to actually walk through this formula, we call it the fulfillment formula, as many times as you can. Every time you find yourself stuck in a complaint, something you don't want, something you don't like, is to walk yourself through this. Okay, I don't want this. What do I want? What's the experience I'm after? And then ask that question. If I were feeling that right now, what would I do? What would I say?
Yes, so that's first thing. Next thing is you want to translate that into action, stuff you can do. How you do that is using what we call living in the question. If I were, for me, it's almost always, not always, but almost always, free, relaxed. What would I do? What would I say right now? And you do that, and just like the lady who actually did that. She went and sat next to him and said, what's so interesting about wrestling? Or the example I did, first thing that came to mind is, I go sit in the couch and grab that magazine and leaf through it. Just do it right there and then, you know, barring anything, emergencies, and you can't do it. Most of the time you can. So just do it.
It totally works, and it's counterintuitive, right? We are so used to fighting form, fighting for form to try to get what we want.
I know, fighting for my form and fighting against the form that I think you're trying to pull down over my head.
Which now just gives us an experience of disconnection and anger and fighting, and it doesn't give us what we want. And I'll tell you, this works. So just try it for this next week. Notice what miracles you can create for yourself. And I'll tell you, you can use this with your kids too. But when your kids are driving you nuts, same thing. What don't you want? What do you want? What's the experience you're after? And then ask that question. Do whatever answer you get and watch yourself create a different experience for yourself over and over again.
Yeah. So have fun with that. Do the best you can. And we look really forward to connecting with you in the third session.
All right. Take care of yourselves. Meanwhile, here's to creating some good experiences.
Yeah.
All right. Bye, everybody.
The Risk Course, copyright 2016, Mankind Project USA, all rights reserved. No portion of this material may be reproduced without written permission.